Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Thank you for another day in the kingdom. I have to say that one of the most exciting things that that happens in my life is sports on steroids on Friday and Saturday, beginning with six-year-old football, six-year-old baseball, and nine-year-old soccer. So, I can relate to the idea of the importance of being present to things that sometimes we don't pay attention to that we need to be present to, because a lot happens with those children out on those fields. They learn a lot. They learn about community and about relationship and about fairness and about truth. But in our lives, prayer is the most essential component to our spiritual life. It connects us to God in every part of the Trinitarian nature of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. During the time between Ascension, which was Thursday, and Pentecost, which is Sunday, please forgive Wilhelmina's excitement, there's a prayer resource out of the Church of England that invites us into global prayer. And I've been following this for quite a few years now, since it began, I'm not sure, four or five. Part of this journey is to commit to pray for five people that you know that need to hear the good news of Jesus. They could be the same five each day, or they could be different each day. But this act of prayer engages God in our lives and expands the scope of the power of prayer through the incarnate Jesus to others in our lives. It refocuses our prayer life to include not only our own supplications, but also the needs of others. This commitment can be for the 11 days, and yes, we're already part of the way there, designated as thy kingdom come, or even beyond the 11 days, to pray specifically for those five people that you know that need to know Jesus. And an extension of that prayer as you go forward might be to ask, how can I bring the kingdom news to these people? In today's reading, we find Jesus in prayer. He's in conversation with his disciples, and then he consummates this time with a powerful prayer. He calls upon God first thing. God, he looked up to heaven, he said, and Father. Jesus calls out to Father. The content of this prayer reveals to them all that he hopes for them. He models the act of prayer just the way he taught them in what we call the Lord's Prayer, beginning with Father, our Father. We call upon God in our prayers. And in this, Jesus calls upon God, not just with his requests, but he has requests for his disciples. Those disciples that are with him then, time present for them, and now, time future for us. In today's reading, Jesus is praying with and for his disciples. In today's reading, we can hear that prayer for us as 21st century disciples, there's a place where we can find a personal message, a personal teaching for each of us. We are the modern day disciples that need to hear the same messages that the first disciples heard. The message of hope. Hope for now, and hope for the future. The importance of Jesus' divinity was so amazing, and it was so powerful and so implicit, if you will, for those who follow him to embrace it and to embrace him as being in and from the Father. That sense of an abiding relationship between Father and Son, and the promise of abiding with us God abiding with us and invites us to abide with him and with the Son. There's a promise of that abiding relationship in this prayer as Jesus prepares to leave his disciples and go to the cross. And this prayer, as I've already said, demonstrates to us, as it did to does in the scripture, to practice intercessory prayer where we pray for one another. Pray for five. It's a good place to begin. Jesus prays, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from this world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." We need to keep God's word. How will that happen in your life? How does that happen in our life here? In his prayer, Jesus acknowledges that those who follow him know the truth. And he says, "I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." That's what Jesus says to God. We need to know God's truth. How do you? How do we know and bring the knowledge of that truth to others? How does that happen in your daily life? This prayer of Jesus to his Father in heaven is for his followers then and continues to be for our followers, for his followers now. And it urges us to embody and proclaim the glory of God that is within them, that is within us, that we need to preach and teach to a fractured world. The post-ascension church continues to face the same challenges that Paul and the disciples faced. A divided church, a lack of compassion for those who are different, a world in which Jesus is not the cornerstone. My list could go on, but changes can happen, but they can only happen if we participate in making them happen. Pray for five. Pray for change, for the peace of God to permeate every corner of creation. In our prayers, we have to believe that God hears us. And we have to believe that God not only hears us, but responds to our prayers. It is God's abiding desire to be in relationship with us and to answer our prayers in the context of the love that is offered to us by God, that deep love, that unconditional love. And then we are to listen for God in all the hopeful places that we find and for all the places that don't feel so hopeful. Those dark places. When we're in those dark places, we have to listen for God and we have to let the light of Christ illuminate that darkness and bring us to truth. Jesus died for us. He is resurrected, and he is ascended. He's ascended to that holy, eternal kingdom. And now we wait. We hope. We listen. We listen to God and know that he listens to us. And he's waiting for us to say yes to him. You all know that I have a deep spiritual relationship with the Order of St. John the Evangelist, and I get a daily devotion from them. One of my favorite brothers, Brother Curtis, wrote this the other day. "These days of waiting between Christ's ascension and Pentecost are about God's waiting on us. God is waiting not for our ability, but for our availability to receive the power Jesus intends for us. God is waiting on us. So often we think, I'm waiting for God. Where is God? I'm waiting to answer my prayers. I'm waiting for him to come into my life and make everything wonderful. God is waiting for us to listen and to hear and to say yes. Pray for five. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand. Join me in the words of the Nicene